If you would take your scriptures, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be reading the entire chapter. Ephesians 5. Would you give ear to the reading of God's word? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise, O the dead, who Christ will give light, give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be surprised, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this Easter morning to your word. We come to learn what your resurrection and ascension has done for us. We look into Ephesians to see what Jesus has called us to be. We saw he called us to be imitators of God. Please, Lord, open our hearts to your word and help us to grow in your grace that we might reflect your grace and mercy to all we know. Give us comfort and courage as we listen to your word this morning and guide us deeper and deeper into your truth. In Christ's name we pray all of these things. Amen. Last week, I told you that paganism was making a roaring comeback. It is fully entrenched in most areas of our lives. Those of us who are working at living the Christian life are confronted with darkness from this paganism at every turn. We are in a terrible battle for our very souls. One of the important questions that arises in times like these is, what should our attitude toward this darkness be? As Christians, we do not live in glass houses. We must not live isolated, segregated lives, for we are called to live our Christian lives openly, openly in this world as testimonies of God's grace. That's the teaching of our Lord in the whole of the New Testament. One of the terrible mistakes some Christians have made is to totally withdraw from society and to isolate themselves from the rest of the world. This is an era in Christian thought called monasticism. This false teaching declares that believers should go out of this world and segregate themselves and live in sterilized cocoons. But this is a false view of Christianity. It is a false asceticism, asceticism being the philosophy of self-denial and self-discipline. When improperly used, as in monasticism, it becomes an enemy of the Christian and his truth. It takes away from us the great victory won by Christ, thus stopping us from living our new lives should around those we lived our old lives. I think everyone who is a true believer knows this desire to give in to this monastic type of life all too well. We all have longed to get away from all the pressure and stress, to escape the difficulties and problems, and of course the people. How many times have I thought and heard from other elders in times of trouble, I don't need this. I'll just quit and go to another church. I doubt there's not one believer here today that does not understand the psalmist when he says, "Oh, for the wings of a dove." We want those wings. We want them so we can mount up with them and fly away from it all. That is the desire of monasticism, but it is not Christianity. And let us be forever thankful that it's not. God has promised to give us the help we need, the help to live this Christian life in a pagan world. He guarantees the grace we need to live a Christian life in the midst of all the problems and trials of this world. There's a scriptural example of this in Mark chapter 5. Jesus came to the land of the Gerasenes, or as some translations have it, the Gadarenes. As he planted, he was met by a demon-possessed man. This man was possessed by a legion of demons. Christ, by his power, exorcised the demons, and the man was restored to a normal condition. In casting out the demons, he sent them into a herd of swine, and the herd was destroyed. The people from the nearby towns came out after hearing of this and found the man who had been possessed by demons sitting at the right hand of Christ in his right mind. The people were afraid and asked Christ to leave their land. As Jesus was getting in the boat, this man who had been possessed asked to go with him. Now, I think I can understand that. After he was delivered, I'm sure he felt exposed, and the only security he could see was being with Christ. But Christ told him, no. He said, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. This is the admonition to each and every believer. Go back to where you were living your old life and show them the changes in you and tell them how the Lord has had mercy on you. That is Christianity. We do not remove ourselves from the world. We go into it and live our lives as a testimony of God's grace and mercy. In this letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul addresses this very important matter of how to live your life in this world as a believer. The world in our day is becoming more and more godless, irreligious, and pagan. We need more and more believers who will take up this call Paul has made to be imitators of God. We need people who will go into the world and work in business, professions, politics, and every other area you can imagine as witnesses of God's grace. We need more people like the demon-possessed man who will go back to where they were living as unbelievers and will now live as believers. Paul addresses this in these verses we just read. He first speaks about your new life. Second, he talks of your responsibilities concerning affirmative and informative fruits. Last, he explains the results these changes in your life will produce. We saw 2 weeks ago Paul's call to all believers to be imitators of God. Last week, he reminded us that we still live in a real world and are going to be confronted with the wicked ways of this world and need to know that there are certain things that must not be named among us. He said we should avoid sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. He then added to these three more things to avoid: obscenity, foolish talk, and coarse jesting. He also gave us the antidote to the temptations of these sins: thanksgiving. He then warned us not to be deceived by those who engage in these unholy things, because the wrath of God is resting on all who allow these sins to control their lives. He continues to speak to us about our lives and how we as believers in Jesus Christ should live them. Listen to verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, the word partakers here can also be translated fellow sharers. Do not be fellow sharers with those who engage in these wicked things. Do not share in their sin. Do not share in their guilt, or you will share in their eternal punishment. I started this message speaking about monasticism and how it's wrong, but there is a separation Christians have to make, as Paul shows here. He lays it out in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He goes on to ask about things that do not go together, like righteousness with lawlessness or Christ with Belial. He asks, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? He suggests that the temple of God has nothing to do with idols. He clearly makes the point, for you are the temple of the living God. We as believers are the very building blocks of the New Testament temple that Christ is building. God has made it clear. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. On the surface, this sounds very much like a call to monasticism, but it's not. Paul says God does not want you to have anything to do with the evil and wicked ways of this world. You are not to allow them to so much as even be named among you. Yet, as we saw with the man from the Gerasenes, you are to go back into the world as a believer, and you are to testify by your word and deeds of God's grace in your life. The admonition is not to be fellow sharers with those who do not do such wicked and unholy things. Do not be partakers with them in their sin. You who are single should also know that as a believer, you are expressly prohibited from marrying an unbeliever. But this call, apart from marriage, is not saying you cannot engage in commerce with unbelievers. What is expressly forbidden is joining together in their sins, or you in any way encouraging their sins. If you are a Christian and are married to an unbeliever, don't be sad. Don't run out and get a divorce. God has called you to be a witness right where you are. He tells you to live your life before your unsaved mate and be a witness to them of what a life with God can be. The apostle tells us why you should not enter into a marriage with the unsaved in verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Before God worked in your heart to open it, before he showed you your sin and showed you your need of a Savior and made you alive in Jesus Christ, you had been very much a part of this darkness. You are, as he said back in Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. It's not just that you had lived in the darkness, but you had been a part of the darkness yourself. The darkness had been in you. It was a darkness caused by the lack of understanding and true knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 4, then verses 4 and 6. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The darkness has also been in you because of the depravity of your soul. Acts 26:17b and 18. To whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This darkness also causes a despondency of your soul, which is lifted only because of the light that has come into the world, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:29, verses 2b. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those dwelling in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You understand, this is the resurrection. It's when Christ is raised that that light is given to us, is placed in our hearts. So when we're looking at this and we're looking at what God, what Paul has told us to be imitators of God, we're looking at the resurrection. We're looking at the ascension. What has Christ done for me? He has given me light. He goes on to show, but now you are light in the Lord. Because of his resurrection, because of his ascension, you, if you believe and trust in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, you are light in the Lord. Now, you belong to the realm of light. You now have the true knowledge of God. Psalm 36:9 says of God, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." You now have righteousness and holiness. Paul has already declared in Ephesians 4:24 that as Christians you are called to put on the new man which we created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Through this realm of light, we find happiness. Psalm 47, verse 11. Light is shown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Only in the Lord can you now know these wonderful things in your life. It is only when we have believed and trusted in Christ that we enter this glorious light, and it is then made a part of us in such a way that everyone can begin to see it in our lives. You, by believing in Christ, become a light transmitter, a reflector of our Lord. The light shines. It begins to radiate from you. You become a lighthouse in a dark world. Ever since Christ, who is the light of the world, entered your heart, you have been, in a small way, the light of the world to those around you who are lost in darkness. Through your conduct in this life, you reflect the glorious light of Jesus Christ. Therefore, live as children of light. Not only are you to be lighthouses, but you are to be children of the very one who is the source of the light. No longer are you children of wrath. No longer are you sons of disobedience. You are now children of light. Therefore, you must be consistent. You must in your everyday life be constant and true to the principles of God's word. You must vow to honor his every command to you, and you must be sure to every vow you make in his name. Righteousness and holiness must characterize every thought, word, and deed of your life. The joy of your salvation from sin and death must be the very highest expression of your new life. I think one of the most asked questions has to be, how do I know when I'm saved? Paul stops here at verse 9 to answer that question with a parenthetical statement. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. How? How do you know when you're walking in the Spirit, or as some have it, in the light as a child of God? Paul says the answer comes from the examination of your own heart. When you find fruit of the Spirit or light in your heart and life, you know God is working in you, making you into one of his children. Christ said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He also says in Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you will know them. There are two classes of these fruits. There is an affirmative type of fruit and an informative type. Verses 9-10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. He gives a short list of affirmative types of gifts that will show us to be true children of God, true children of light. First, he mentions goodness. We're going to be good. Goodness is the opposite of malice. Such goodness is created by the working of the Spirit. It would be moral and spiritual in nature. But understand, We shall never in this life be perfect as Christ was perfect. And if you're waiting for perfection in any of these areas in this life, you will be disappointed. Goodness means doing unto your neighbor as you would want him to do unto you. It is not holding grudges and seeking revenge. He also mentions righteousness. It is hard to distinguish between goodness and righteousness. I'm using goodness in relation to man to man, and righteousness in relation to man to God. Righteousness means having a right standing before God. So, to be righteous, you must be obedient to the word and commands of God. Understand, we cannot as men ever live a perfect life. When we break the smallest part of one of God's commands, we are guilty of breaking the whole law. The righteousness we now can now live in was purchased for us by Jesus Christ. Therefore, as righteousness and what we should be searching our hearts for is a complete trust in Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. Jesus Christ came into this world. He was sent by the Father. What was he sent to do? He was came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. He lived the perfect life we could never live. He died the atoning death we could never die. He paid the price for our resurrection. And he has given us that victory. We must trust in Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. That's what the ascension is all about. Christ going back to complete all of this so that you could have it through him. Your light comes through him. You can have no right standing before God apart from Jesus Christ or by trusting in Christ alone for something else. Your right standing comes in trusting Christ and Christ alone. Please don't ever lose sight of that, because that's what the true gospel is. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I place my hope, my trust in him and in nothing else. Along with goodness and righteousness, another affirmative thing to search your heart for is truth. Of course, you know the only truth is God's word. Therefore, you must search your heart and life for your compliance with God's word. Are you at the best of your ability and with the help of the Holy Spirit living your life in integrity, reliability, and commitment over against sham, falseness, and hypocrisy? These are all qualities of heart that you should be able to find in your life if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ. Please understand this. When you find these things, it is not to be a source of pride, but thanksgiving. You were once living in darkness, but now, because of the wonderful work of Jesus Christ, you have been enabled to come into the light and become a child of the light, as Paul says, finding what is acceptable to the Lord. That's your responsibility, to search and find what you're to search out, what you're to be in Christ Jesus. The only place you can do that is in his word. So, how do we accomplish it? By working hard to make these fruits a part of our daily lives. Paul raises informative things to answer issues about your salvation. Verses 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Now, we looked at the affirmative, those things that should shine forth as you live your life in a darkened world. Now, we look at the things that are informative and must be done in response to the darkness around you. He says, you should have nothing to do with these works of darkness, sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscenity, foolish talking, and coarse joking. Do not allow these things that used to come from your unregenerate heart have control of anything in your life, because all of these things are unprofitable. Those who have vowed to follow Jesus Christ and to have him as their Lord and Savior have no part in these works of darkness. Does this then mean that those of us who have been delivered from this darkness should remove ourselves from this world? Does it indicate we should become hermits, secluded and shut off from the evil we used to live in? No, not at all. Even though we are not of the world, we're still in the world. We still have a mission to carry out, And Paul says, have nothing to do with the evil deeds of this world, but rather expose them. If you truly belong to the realm of light, you cannot, you must not be neutral with respect to the darkness of this world. You cannot overlook evil deeds and you cannot compromise with them. God tells us to worship Him and to worship Him alone. Therefore, you are forbidden from worshiping idols. That means you cannot worship God when man tries to represent Him with physical objects. This was the sin of Israel in the northern kingdom. After the split with the southern kingdom, Jeroboam, who was the king of the northern kingdom, was concerned that the people of Israel would continue to go to Jerusalem to worship. So he made two golden calves and called them Jehovah and led the people into idol worship. Sin must be exposed and called what it is. You are not being nice or doing any man a favor to let him continue sinning in his ignorance. It is an act of love to smooth things over. It's not an act of love to go out and just smooth things over where sin is concerned. Wicked things done by unregenerate men must not be ignored by the children of light. They must be exposed. We need to declare transgender stuff is sin. Trying to change a child from what God made him is sin. We cannot let that go on. We must stand up against it. Paul continues with these words from verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. The sins of men who are unrestrained by the Holy Spirit become so shameful, it's difficult even to talk about them, and in most cases, better not to dwell on them. Yet we are called as children of light to expose them. How do we do that? How do we both expose and not mention them? Understand, you're not forbidden from pointing out sin. Paul has already given us a list of sins that will prevent men from becoming children of light. I think in the context of this whole chapter and letter, the idea Paul wants you to see is that you can do a great deal of to expose sin through just being a witness of how you live your life. Go out and stand with them, but refuse to join them in their sin. The important thing for you as a child of light is to show the darkened world how joyful it is to be a part of God's kingdom. Your holiness will convict them of their unholiness. But your witness will never be complete until you have given them God's word with it. Yes, you must speak with them about their sin. Let your light shine through your life as you obey and please God with how you live your life and testify of Him. This brings us to the results that will follow those who live holy lives. Verses 13 through 14. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The results? The results are the contrast your holy life will bring when it comes in contact with the terrible deeds of wickedness that come from the sons of disobedience. So, you live a holy life before a darkened world. Their unholy practices are exposed to the light and shown for what they really are. Do you realize you have that kind of power? As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have great power because you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And if you go out and you are with the crowd that's doing the bad things and you say, no, I'm not going to do that, you are making a powerful witness for Jesus Christ. As you live a holy life before a darkened world, their unholy practices are exposed to the light and shown what they really are. This is why Paul calls us to be imitators of God. This is why we are called children of light. We are given the power to expose the sins of the world, to bring those sins into the light of God's truth. Paul says this is true in the next phrase, which declares, for whatever makes man manifest is light. The light that comes from God exposes sin. It exposes every attitude, every motive, every practice is made manifest. So that through this contrast, It loses its hiding place. It can no longer hide because you have brought the light in. You have brought a light in that leaves no shadow. It just covers all and every shred of darkness is run off. But we see clearly that not only is the deed exposed, but also the heart of the one who engages in the deed. This is one of the most important aspects of the gospel. We are to shine the light of the gospel into this world of darkness through both our lives and our testimonies. For a man to be saved requires the work of God in his heart. He must be given a new heart. Once you have that heart, it is your responsibility to present others the truth of God concerning yourself and God. We do this by living our lives in obedience to the word and by the testifying of God's grace to us. This causes those who have been given the new heart to start examining themselves and how they are living their lives. They begin to see the sin they are living in and recognize the need they have of someone to help them overcome these sins. As we testify of God's grace to us and express our trust in Christ alone, the ones we are witnessing to see him as their only hope and thus call out to him. This is what Paul means in Ephesians 5:14 of his paraphrase of Isaiah 6:1. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. A person with a new heart is called to come out of his slumber, to throw off the darkness and recognize that you have been made alive in Jesus Christ. Then, to begin living this new life. Join with those who have been testifying to you and be a child of light. What will be the results of this? The results will be that Jesus Christ will pour out upon you his glorious spirit and will bless you with this wonderful gift of eternal life. In conclusion, as children of light, you are called to be imitators of God. You are called to live a life of love. You are called to ever remember the offering and sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf. To understand your salvation is a gift of unsurpassing value that would never be purchased or earned by your works. You are also called to live a responsible life, a life that reflects the grace given you to others. You are called to be witnesses of this wonderful salvation, to be obedient unto the word of God. I know none of these things are easy. They're hard. You are not left without help to accomplish these responsibilities. God has promised to all who will hear and believe on Jesus Christ the grace they need to live out this life. He has given to every believer his Holy Spirit as their guide, teacher, and comforter. You have no excuse whatsoever. Are you working hard to be a reflection of that light? This is one of the areas you need to be constantly examining your heart. Understanding you will not be perfect. Your goal is a continual effort. If you do not find that effort, please listen. You can be enabled to make that effort if you will acknowledge the total failure of all your own strength and will place your trust in Christ and in Christ alone. He will save and empower all who trust in him alone for their salvation. Call out to him right now, and he will hear, and he will come to you with his grace and mercy and will bless you with eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to remember that one Sunday is no more holy than any other Sunday, be it Easter or Christmas. We were called to come together on every first day of the week. We have come together this morning to worship you, our God, and to remember what you have done for us. In the passage we just looked at, you called us to live as children of light in this dark world. Help us to take the truth you have given us and make our lives shine for all to see. May we remember every Sunday that our Lord is not in the grave, for he is risen and is at the Father's right hand testifying for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.